The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thanks for joining us, you guys.
You guys.
When are people listening to this? After the 4th of July, we hope you had a happy 4th if you are living in America.
Living in America. And for the rest of you out there. Every time you do something, just, I know from a song.
Yep. Just for the rest of you listening in the world, happy beginning of July.
Yes. To you. That's right. Because a lot of you are not living in the U.S. of A. Some of them are in America, but they're not in the United States, you know. I learned that. That's something I learned.
What do you mean? Like in North America?
Yeah. Like the continent.
Oh, of North America.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is 4:17 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon. Is today Wednesday?
It is a Wednesday.
And you guys.
Yes. Oh, today was the day. You guys probably remember this if you're listening, that Instagram and Facebook both went a little sketcho.
Yeah.
So,
and everybody's like, what's going on? I've restarted my phone like five times.
Yeah. You're like scrolling through your Instagram and it's all fucked up and everyone's panicking and turning to Twitter. And it was a day that will rest in infamy.
This happened a few months ago, remember? Like it all went down. Instagram.
I think I remember, but I'm always like late to the complaining party. But today I was right on time. I was like, what the fuck? Like trying to post for our episode today.
I can hear you saying that too. And then like Joey or Tommy going, Mom, why did you say that word?
I stop myself from finishing. So I'll go, what the? Or, oh, for fuck. Which is, I'm trying to say for fuck's sake, which is like my new favorite, for fuck's sake. And last time we were in the car and somebody cut me off and Joey was in the car with me and I thought he was like reading and I go, oh, for fuck. And he goes, you could just say it, Mom. And I was like, wow, I've really let you down as a parent. No, I can't just say it. I have to get better. I have to be better. I have to be best.
You know what? I have now started cussing in front of the children. It happened. I broke that.
But I always did.
Oh, you did?
I always did. And now I'm trying to not because now I feel like they're old enough.
You can't just take it back. I mean, you can't.
I mean, it's not like I curse like a sailor around them, but they definitely heard growing up as young children cuss words. If they were listening when I was like talking to other adults, I'm not saying it to them, but like if they're in the room and I have a friend over or whatever, that, you know, that kind of stuff. Or I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, but now I'm trying to stop. So you're right. It could be too late, too little, too late, but.
It's already in their little brains.
Oh, they're, it could be worse.
The first 4 years are the most crucial years, you know. You've screwed them up. Hey, did I tell you that Santiago, my 11-year-old, you guys, almost 12, pretty much came to me and was like, he pretty much told me that him and his friends cuss.
Oh, he was like admitting to you like when you're not around?
Well, he was more like, hey, Mom, so what cuss words do you say when you're not around me and Frankie? And I was like, you know, I say...
All of them?
I say shit. I say fuck. It's like, and he's like, do you think fifth graders cuss? And I was like...
Oh, he's like testing the water. Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah, I think probably that. Yeah, for sure. Do you think my friends cuss? Yeah, I'm sure. I think they... I can tell you for sure. Do you think I cuss? And I'm like, I think maybe a little bit. And he's like, I do sometimes. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, but listen, I'm like, it's all good, but don't cuss just to cuss, because then you're just going to sound lame. Like, you got to make it like sound like it's got to be at the right times, or else you just kind of sound like dumb. He's like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
He's like
a well-placed for emphasis. Yeah.
He's like, my friend Arnold, he's not really named Arnold, but he's like, he just cusses all the time. He just says the fuck word. He just says the F word.
What word?
He says the F word no matter where we are, what we're doing. And he's like, and it just doesn't sound right. I'm like, yeah, it's like so immature. I was like, oh, that's cool. I was trying to be like, oh, that's cool. You know, just make it emphasize when it needs to be, you know?
Right. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking like if I were at a park or something and there was a group of fifth graders playing or running around or skateboarding, and I heard them like rattling off a bunch of bad words.
Bad words.
I would probably be like, excuse me, like how hypocritical that. And I guess I could blame it on like there's little kids around here. Well, yeah, that's really not the point.
No, but you could do that. You'd be like, hey, there's little kids here. You know, yeah. You couldn't just be like, hey, you're not allowed to say bad words, buddy.
I would feel like you have to earn that. Like, you can't just be cussing when you have everything handed to you in life. You live in a house that you don't pay for, and you don't have jobs, and you don't know what it's like to deal with, you know, fucking insurance agents on the phone and home warranties and trying to get credit cards to listen to your blah, blah, blah. You don't get to cuss then. I earned it.
That's right.
Like, that would be more my rant in my head, but probably I would say nothing and just
cover your children's ears and run away.
I would just like pray to the universe, goddesses, whatever I believe in, that like time slows down and I am not the mom of a teenager anytime soon, because I know it's coming and I am so afraid of it. I'm so afraid.
Oh, yeah, me too.
No, I'm going to look to you because you're dealing with it with such grace.
Well, he's going to break me in because he's chill. She, however, that's the one I'm afraid of. But anyway, we better not. Listen, these people getting married are nowhere near here yet. Or some of you might already have teenagers, in which case, write into us and let us know what to do.
Give us all the advice.
Give us a call.
Okay, we'll get back on topic.
We're doing another Yawa. We're doing a Yawa bonus here in July because it's Christy's idea. Wednesday. You can thank your old buddy Christy here. This was her idea. And I was just like, oh my God, yes. Like, why don't we do, we have to do more Yawas, right? I mean, that's what you all love the most. I mean, all of our episodes, I mean, we interview awesome people. By the way, I'm saying I mean a lot. I just noticed that. I'm going, I mean. But Yawas are, you know, answering your questions. So, and this friggin' Facebook group, man, is amazing.
Yes, it is a wealth of knowledge and also good questions. So this whole episode of You Ask, We Answer, this bonus episode, Yawa, is going to be pulled from the Facebook group that we started and that now has many, many members. And everyone is pretty good about commenting and being supportive. And if somebody has a specific question and somebody else has dealt with like that exact thing, then they're eager to chime in. And we love that it's a little community. So I'm including some of those questions. I'm not including people's full names in the outline I did. And then I'll do what we answered and then also what some other people answered, like some other comments that we got as answers.
Oh, this is what, now it just.
But we got to back up because we can't jump into it quite yet. But that is what the episode is about.
Yeah.
And
oh, right. And we wanted to do a little debrief on the wedding sitch lately. Our wedding.
On our weddings. Our weddings. Because we've been very busy.
Yes. That's why I haven't answered very much, guys, lately. I haven't been on the Facebook group. It's very randomly. If I'm up in the middle of the night and I'm on Facebook, I might just like chime in. But I'm just, yeah, I haven't been on. You have.
Yes. And one more announcement. I just will do it instead of this one. Yes, I have been on it, but not every day. I try to like block time out in the week to get on and answer or chime into as many questions as I can. Yeah. So we've been really busy, you guys, like both of us. This, I'd say the past 4 weeks has been like the craziest of this year.
Yeah.
For Michelle and I to, and to like, I'll feel bad Like, I'll actually feel guilty for not answering emails on time, like, quote, on time, like within a couple days if I see one. And I definitely some fell through the cracks. And then some of you listeners that are probably listening right now, you emailed a second time. Yeah, just to
thank
be like,
you for that.
I'm just checking in.
By the way, thank you.
Yes. And it wasn't a couple months or a couple days. It was like, I think it was a month, or I found one that I hadn't responded to at the time.
That was specifically for you. She said, sorry, Michelle, this one's for Christy. Remember?
Yeah, but I found another one that had a wedding question. Ooh. And I don't know where these are going. And I start to feel really guilty. And then it's like, again, I have to remind myself. And that's why I'm going to just put it out there. Like, this side hustle that we're doing is exactly that. Like, it is truly a labor of love. And there's only so many hours in a day. And I feel terrible when an email goes unanswered, but like, I assume that if we ever got huge, 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 huge as a podcast and we were making money, a lot of money, we would have a team or at least a couple people to help us administratively. And for that, we just want to keep on doing this even when we're exhausted and don't have the time to do it. We want to, so that we can get to that point. So
it'll happen.
Thank you for emailing. And I'm sorry if it's taking a while, but we do try our best to get to all of them. Okay. So that's my PSA apology tour completed.
That's good.
On that.
Thank you.
And I didn't even put that in the notes.
No, just you just like, that was a free ball, you know,
yeah,
like
free form.
Just, yeah. Okay. So this is.
So we can do a quick recap, right, of my wedding
recap
and then your wedding.
You start. Yours was before mine.
Quick.
Yours was the weekend before mine.
Yes. So I flew out to LA and then drove up to Lake Arrowhead, which I've never been to. So that's where my wedding was. Full Catholic mass ceremony, big Filipino wedding. Like, the guest count was not huge, but the families were big. And I would say, you know, when we did that, like, family, all extended family in the photo, it was half the guest, because that's what kind of families they were. So it wasn't a huge wedding, but it was a very much a family affair. It was so wonderful, but it was a long day, because oftentimes with long ceremonies, you have to do them earlier in the day. And then if you want an evening reception, you have 3 or 4 hours in between the ceremony and the reception. And that's exactly what this wedding did. And then, the reception started, cocktail hour started at 5, and then the reception started at 6. I think that's right.
What time was the ceremony?
I'm almost positive. At like 12:30.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was time in between, and they were really great. We had baskets of snacks, like grab snacks, like chips and granola bars and bottles of water outside of the church to be like, bye everyone, thanks, see you at cocktail hour, like, everybody was within 10 minutes
to
go to their
idea.
Hotels. Yeah, but it was so cheap and it was really cute and it was gone. Like, all of the chips and granola bars were gone. So,
and water?
You could tell people, and the bottles of water, yeah. Everything was gone. So you could tell people were like into it. I mean, it's kind of like on an airplane.
That's
like, you
a great
might not
idea.
Usually eat pretzels, but you want some pretzels on the flight, mm-hmm. because they're free and they're there. So it had that space in between, but then the reception went from 6 dinner reception to 11:30. That's when it ended with the last dance. And I will admit that as their wedding planner, I thought they really wanted to go to 11:30. It was like, that's what they paid for an extra hour. I talked to all the vendors about a huge quick strike because we had to be out as fast as possible. It was at a resort. They knew what they were doing. They do weddings all the time. But I thought their people are not going to go till 11:30. I was pretty positive in my mind. I'm going to give my couple what they wanted. They did not ask, what do you think about us going to 11:30? They just asked me to make it work on the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, but that was a lot of like micro events, cake cutting. They did garter, they did bouquet, father-daughter dance, same day edit, all these things, but they were all done so that we still had almost three hours of open dancing, photo booth, that kind of stuff. And I was sure that it wasn't going to go that long, that people would like leave because they were tired, or the flip side of that, party too hard at the beginning and get drunk and then like fall asleep at their table or like get messy or whatever. But I was wrong. They partied until 11:30. Like, they stayed.
Everybody stayed.
pretty much everybody stayed. All the people in, like, let's say the younger generation of the couple getting married were on that dance floor or at the photo booth or at the bars, but mostly on the dance floor until 11:30. And then all the parents, so aunts, uncles, padrinos, sponsors, you know, all the parents were sitting at tables talking to each other, even though it was loud, and watching their children, who were all cousins and, you know, this big family, dance and get silly and have a great time. So it was cool. And it was a great wedding. So that's my Arrowhead wedding in a nutshell.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was. And it, you know, taught me some lessons. But as planners, we never know the couple's guests as well as the couple does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like when you're making, you as our listeners out there planning your weddings, when you're making those kinds of decisions, like, will our friends really drink that much? Or, you know, are they going to dance? Will they like this? Will they like that? Like, you can't really pose those questions to your planner because you're the one that knows. Or maybe nobody knows, but it was refreshing for me to be reminded that I can still be surprised at a wedding.
Yeah.
And then the other awesome thing about this wedding was this same day edit, which the videographer did, which I did an entire bonus episode about that went to patrons. So if you want to hear that episode about same day edits and lessons learned, tips and tricks, what I loved about it, join Patreon, become a patron, whatever, and we'll shoot it to you because that's how much I want everybody to hear it.
The bonus episodes go to the second tier and up, just so you guys know. $5 and up get the bonus episode.
$5 a month.
Yeah.
$5 a month and you get a bonus episode and a newsletter and we answer your emails faster.
We try.
So yeah, that was my wedding, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it as we go on since it'll be fresh in my mind.
Well,
yeah.
Should I talk about my wedding now or should we go into something else and then come back?
Just give us the recap because it was really, really different than mine, which was like a destination wedding. Everybody stayed at one resort and there was a team of professionals that work at that resort all the time. Yeah. Yours was
mine
not
was
that.
A wedding in a private home in the backyard. We had 92 guests. We had to bring everything in. I want to give a shout out to Jessica Lasky Catering in Oakland, California, Abby Party Rents SF in Daly City, California, Allison Yin Photo. Allison and Adam were amazing. Made Out of Dough Cake was amazing, and dessert. Heart of Gold DJs. Man, I'm going to be forgetting. Oh, Manon Williams Floral. It was a great, 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 great wedding. And there were... There were a couple of big surprises. One is, guys, let me tell you something. We had to have valet parking. This home was on a long driveway off of a busy road. Beautiful home, beautiful area. But the driveway was very steep, like the drive to go down the long one-way road to get to the house, right? So we had a shuttle bringing people from the hotel, but the shuttle had to stop at the top of the drive and people had to walk. That kind of sucked, but it is what it is. We had valet. The problem is my ceremony was at 5:30 and valet arrived at 4:45 because guests would start arriving as early as 5 o'clock in cars. The problem was I arrived at 2 o'clock. My assistant arrived. The catering staff arrived. The rental company staff arrived. The florist arrived.
Do you think
arrived.
It would have been worth having a valet paid for all of that?
Oh my God. Yeah. I will never do that again. You must have the valet. Whatever time you think your guests are arriving, have the valet arrive at least an hour and a half earlier than that. Because, Christy, I literally was
4 hours earlier in your case.
I mean, but it's expensive, right? It's kind of hard to do that.
But
I was like, okay. You know, I was shuffling cars so much, which took me away from a lot of the things that I needed to do. I was sweating my ass off. But anyway, it was beautiful. The decor was amazing. Oh my God. And then The crazy thing, if you guys were watching Instagram stories, is I had to call 911 two times.
Not once, but twice. This
was the crowd was older. You know, it was a lot of family.
It wasn't super hot, was it?
It was not super hot. It wasn't like, I mean, I think it got up to maybe 80, maybe, but the ceremony was at 5:30. So it wasn't like we were in, you know, 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock sun.
Top of the sun.
Yeah, there was a lot of shade. There was a nice breeze. It was perfect. But at one point, somebody came up to me and was like, Michelle, somebody passed out. And I'm like, what? Where? And we had just done a call to dinner.
Oh my God. Knock on wood. I have never called 911 at a wedding.
Well, here you go. I have, but that was because a fight broke out. So the first man passed out, an older gentleman, and I would say he's probably, I mean, he wasn't that old. He's probably in his late 60s. But the mother of the groom, as the guy was on the ground, told me that this gentleman had had a stroke within the month and a half or something. So they were concerned. Luckily, there was a doctor in the house. Like, there was a doctor as a guest.
Is there a doctor on board?
Is there a doctor in the house? So when I arrived to this gentleman, the doctor was already there, like, taking his vitals. The father of the groom, whose home it was, actually had a blood pressure monitor because he uses it for himself. So we had, you know, I felt like, okay, like I don't need to perform CPR because that would have fallen on me or somebody at the catering staff. You know, like that's another thing you got to think about. Like, are your professionals really professionals? Do they have certificates in CPR first aid? Do they know how to handle something like this? And even at that moment, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, you know, like, do I remember?
Yeah.
You know, what do I do?
I mean, you can't. Yeah. We don't exactly ask our DJs if they're CPR certified.
No.
I do watch the videos on redcross.com or whatever.
Oh, I should do a refresh.
I do watch them once a year. I just did because we have kids swimming in our pool all the time. And I'm like, is it still staying alive?
Staying
like,
alive.
Is it still,
staying
al- you know, is two it? Breaths?
It's like 30 pumps.
30 pumps and two breaths.
Yeah.
But I always have to be reminded that you got to put your mouth over the nose
or
pinch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't really, you have to pinch the nose.
And with children, you don't want to break ribs, but anyway. So
anyway,
refresh your first aid, everyone.
Yeah. Anyway, he was fine. He asked the person who called 911 to call back and cancel. We didn't think they would cancel, but they did. And I swear to God, not 10 minutes later, Jenny, my assistant, who you know, my best friend Jenny, is like, Michelle, so there's a man passed out. And I'm like, no, he's fine. She's like, no, it's another man. And I'm like,
oh my God,
you're kidding me. I'm like, where? And there he was, right in the middle of the guest tables with people around him, passed out. But this time I went over to him. The doctor was there again. Nobody had called 911. I looked at this man. His color was changing. He was alert. He was breathing, but he did not look good. And so I told the doctor.
Like looking just like gray?
Kind of yellow to green.
Oh, okay.
And that's not good. So the doctor's like, call 911. So I stood by the doctor. They're asking me questions. They're like, didn't you just call and cancel? And I'm like, no, this is another one.
Oh my God.
So they did end up coming. And so what was interesting was the bride and groom were not in the area when we called. They were out front of the house getting photos taken. So they didn't know any of this was going on. And the bride's sister comes to me. She's like, Michelle, my sister's going to be really upset. Like, this is our uncle. You know, he's had a heart attack before. We've been scared. Like, she's going to be upset. Is there any way you can, like,
we can
deter
hide
her
it?
Or hide her or not have her come back here? And I was like, And by the way, right before this man passed out, Jenny came to me and was like, the photos are taking longer than usual. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then the man passed out. So then after her sister said this to me and I knew 911 was on the way and the bride and groom were in the front of the house, I go booking out to the front of the house, go running out there. Of course, when I got toward them, I was walking. I'm like, hey, how's it going? And Allison, the photographer, she's like, we just finished. And the bride and groom are like laughing and like, oh, happy and carefree. I'm like, hey.
Like the picture I posted of
like
them.
Like the picture you posted of them.
That's them.
That's
right
actually
in that moment.
That was right before I told them. It's on our Instagram feed. And so I was like, hey,
told
come
them.
On inside. Like come okay. into the you know, master bedroom, let's take a drink of water, relax while guests are seated. They're like, oh, that sounds great. Let's do that. And they're like walking all slow and they stop to look at the flowers in the garden. And I'm thinking to myself, get in this house. And so
do not stop and smell the roses.
Not stop today. Not right now. I know it's your wedding day. So they come in, they sit down, and then I'm like, I got to tell them. I can't like hide this from them, you know? So I told them, they were worried, she was worried, they were fine. I said, I think it's better if you stay in here, if you go out there, like your uncle's going to feel worse that you're there and then your guests are going to talk, you know. But on his way out, on the, what do you call that? The thing that they put, the bed they put you on the...
On the gurney?
Yeah, the gurney.
Oh my gosh.
But side note, there were a couple of good looking firemen. They, the bride came out front of the house and the groom to say goodbye to their uncle. And he, you know, it was a cute little moment. I took pictures, but yeah, crazy, crazy. But that pushed everything an hour late because our dinner started later. So we had to go overtime with the DJ, overtime with the catering staff because we had to help. They needed to break everything down. Overtime with our on-site rental person who was on standby for the generator and all the lighting. Who else did we go overtime with? Oh, the transportation company because the shuttle bus ended up going an hour over. So things happen, guys. Things happen, but it was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk. I forgot that happened because you texted me, but I thought you were going to talk about like, okay, when you're doing an installation on a backyard sports court, blah, blah, blah. But then it's like, no, the big thing that is.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about on this recap episode about that too, but this was pretty unique. And I thought
I know
I would share that. So anywho, yeah,
that is, you never know.
You never know. Oh, and by the way, the gentleman who went to the hospital was released later that night. Guess what happened to him? Dehydration. That's right. And yeah. No, it wasn't that hot. It's simply that he just didn't drink enough water. People, water is important. It's a real thing. Like, you have to drink water.
Yeah. I've been, like, ever since we moved to Arizona, it's ridiculous how much water I drink. This, like, giant... What are those cups called? Mine's a knockoff, so I don't know the real name.
Oh, I don't know, but I just the, like, spilled water.
Whatever. Testosterone cups. Yep, it's just like really carry it around everywhere I go. Okay.
Gross.
Okay, next on the list.
Okay.
A few announcements, special announcements. First of all, we want to thank Libby.
Libby.
Special shout out to Libby, who is helping us a lot with social media planning, I would say. Like, things are in the works.
She's schooling us.
We are figuring it out together, and she's teaching us the things, and then we're making her repeat the things, and then we just write back comments or change our minds or whatever. And she's great. So thank you.
Thank you, Libby.
And also to the person who has like my favorite name in the whole world, and we've not met in person, but I think we would really get on with some margaritas. And that is Miss Dixie Bagley of the farm in Rome, Georgia. Dixie Bagley.
Miss Dixie Bagley.
You sweet Georgia peach. Thank you for your contribution on Patreon, which was so generous, but also because there was a huge inconvenience and she had to like try 5 different times to give us that money.
And
Patreon like wasn't working and I had to call and I was like, please let this person give us money. She wants to. She's not going to want to in a minute. And then she persevered and nevertheless, and she gave us that money and we're so grateful. So thank you, Dixie Bagley.
That was awesome.
And Ashley W., you are on our Facebook group. You know who you are. You are nailing it with your amazing suggestions about specific topics that we should do and guests that we should interview. And you're totally spot on. We're keeping notes and we're going to reach out to those
people. Maybe she needs
to
be our manager.
Yeah. Can you just put together a template?
Can you just do that,
Ashley,
for us?
Just reach out to them on our behalf and connect us when they want to book a date. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And then also we're going to read one review. We like to read reviews during Yawa, but this isn't our real end of month.
We have more reviews, but we're already at 30 minutes. We got to get on to this shit.
Okay.
But thank you all for your reviews. Beautiful. We'll read more on our next Yawa, which is just going to be released in a couple of weeks. 5 stars. Emily Steffi. So glad I found this podcast. I've tried a few in the last month or so, and none came close to being as entertaining, relatable, and helpful as this one. I was struggling with bridesmaid dresses when I came upon your Birdie Gray episode. So I just... Yeah, Birdie Gray, everybody. Check that out. That's a Spotlight series. So I decided to check them out, and they are perfect. My bridesmaids love them too, and love the price, of course. I also just booked a great month of planner because your show confirmed that I definitely need one. I really feel better informed by every single episode. I jump around, but hopefully I will get through them all in the next 3 months before our wedding. Your personalities complement each other so well, and your passion for what you do really comes through. Thank you, and please keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, fine.
Fine, we will.
We'll keep on keeping on.
Keep on.
Thank you for that.
Emily, thank you. And we got to make sure Birdie Gray knows about this.
Yes.
I would love to hear any of you.
You should have gotten your free shipping.
By the way, I'm getting my Birdie Gray dress shortened for my sister's wedding this weekend. You guys, my sister's getting married on Sunday. Jennifer and Barry tying the knot. Ooh, ooh. When you guys,
well,
this
it would have been last weekend.
Oh yeah. Okay, everybody, when you listen to this, I was a maid of honor
Jennifer
last Sunday.
Jennifer and Barry got married.
They married. It's been crazy, by the way, planning a wedding and also being in the wedding. This has been...
Girl, preach.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you are a trooper. You have been crazy. You're insane. You're a crazy person.
I just feel like I'm floating along these days, so... Yeah. Thank you, Emily. That's super sweet. We'll read more on our next Yawa recording, but we're getting up there, you guys. We're getting so many more reviews and 5 stars, and it's so important. So please, 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 if you haven't already, put us up a review because it helps get us up there and it helps get the word out for our podcast. And we need it. Mm-hmm. We need that jolt. We're ready to go to the next level.
Yes. Okay. Right. So we have 4 quick, these are quick answers.
Quickies.
These are easy questions, we say. So 4 questions from the Facebook group. And the first one is about hair and makeup timeline.
Oh, I'm like, what is HMU? I never use that acronym. Yeah. Okay.
So you read it.
Okay. Question. Remember, this is from our Facebook group. Okay, guys, help. My wedding is in about 16 days and I'm putting together my wedding day timeline. I have been going back and forth with my hair and makeup team and my photographer about what time we should start and finish hair and makeup and what time the photographer should show up. My photographer said he's very flexible as he is a friend of mine. But this doesn't help my hair and makeup team because they want to know an exact time that he's going to show up so she can be almost done. I have about 8 people getting their hair done, and I think like 4 or 5 people getting their makeup done, including myself on this. Hair and makeup said that they would like to be done by 12 or 1 so I can start taking photos with my girls and my mom. The ceremony starts at 5:30. Do you guys think this is too early or is this normal? I don't have a wedding planner, so it's all on me right now. Thanks for the help. I hope this makes sense.
Okay, So you get it, right? She would have 5 hours, more than 5 hours between when hair and makeup is done and when the ceremony starts. But during that time, she does want photos taken with her girls and her mom and probably like some in a robe and some in a box and some with a fox and some on a train and, you know, all the things with the girls,
mm-hmm.
but not seeing each other, not first look, not full family, not full wedding party because she won't have the groomsmen with her. So I think it's too much time.
I do too.
I think 1 to 5:30 I answered is a lot of downtime. And I don't think you need to have hair and makeup done by noon, which leads me to wonder if the hair and makeup team maybe has a second wedding that they need to be done by noon. So anyways, here's how you do timelines. Anyways, this in a very, very like Cliff Notes version of how to do a timeline, you have to work backwards a lot. So work backwards from the ceremony start time. which let's say if it starts at 5:30, by 5 o'clock and no earlier, by 5 o'clock, you need to be chilling out. And also you need to be sort of quarantined off by yourself with your girls, whatever, at the ceremony site, wherever you want to be, because you don't want to see your partner. So by 5 o'clock, you're in a room with the door closed, essentially. So from that point, I think you need 2 hours. You would take 2 hours of photo time max.
That's a lot. That's what I'm saying.
That's, I don't know, maybe they're like going multiple locations.
Unless they're going traveling somewhere for photos, yeah.
But photo time being also getting ready.
When
the photographer comes, and what I'm
saying
is...
Getting dressed.
With buffer time for getting around and, you know, driving around, if you have to, that puts you at a finish time of hair and makeup for 2 o'clock. That's from 2 to 5, you have time for pictures. So I think you start hair and makeup at 9:30-ish, and it goes until 1:45 or 2. That way you don't have anybody sitting around in their hair and makeup for many, many hours. And also you don't have to have anybody get up super freaking early to do hair and makeup when the ceremony doesn't start until 5:30. So plan on your photographer arriving in your, let's say, getting ready suite or the room where you're doing that at, 1 o'clock if you want those pictures, or 2 o'clock if you want like photos outside starting, getting ready is done. The photographer shoots you and your ladies and all the details like your ring, bouquet, shoes, your photos with your moms. And then he'll still have time, but he or she, the photographer, will still have time for venue shots and details of the venue, and also for the shots with your groom and his family and his men, if you want to even it out that way. And then everybody's chilling out by the time ceremony prelude starts at 5 o'clock. So that's what I said. We had a couple of the other listeners chime in, and one said that everybody's different, but I think I would maybe be sitting around just getting nervous and impatient if I was hair and make, if everything was ready and I had that much time before the ceremony, which is another thing to think about. I would, if I were the bride, Christy was the bride, you can bet your ass I would be getting impatient. Mm-hmm. I would just be sitting there like, why am I sitting here? What else is happening? So you have to think about that too. And then she said, maybe one of the makeup artists, she mentioned staying on later for touch-ups. If you are going to have that much time in between, maybe that's something worth talking to your makeup artist about so that you have a freshen up before the ceremony actually starts. And then she also suggested thinking of something fun to do with the bridal party to pass the time if there's simply no way around that much time in between the end of hair and makeup and the beginning of the ceremony. So those were all things that I hadn't thought about, and I thought that makes sense too.
And just for shits and giggles, I'm looking at the hair and makeup schedule I created for my sister's wedding, and we have 3 hair and makeup artists coming in. One of them does hair only. And there's 5 of us getting hair and makeup plus 2 flower girls getting hair only. They're going to arrive and set up at 11:45 to be ready to go by 12. And they're going to bang it all out. And my sister, hers is obviously last, and she'll be done by 3:15, getting dressed at 3:30. Now, she's not doing photos beforehand. They're not doing a first look. And we're not going to do photos beforehand. And her ceremony is at 4 o'clock. But this is at the hotel, right? So, like, she's getting ready upstairs. She'll be dressed. She'll walk down and be ready to go when it's time for ceremony to start. But, I mean, that's 3 hours and 15 minutes total for hair and makeup, for 5 full hair makeups and plus 2 flower girl hairs and little powder on them. They'll do a little makeup. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't have that much time to do nothing before the wedding. I'd rather have it on the front end in the morning and chill, man, and like take a long shower, eat a good breakfast, put your feet up, watch some Friends, whatever it is, like talk to your friends or watch Friends, whatever, Netflix, whatever you think you want to do.
Look at your friends.
Take a yoga class, meditate, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sleep in.
Put some cucumbers on your eyes.
Go get a massage, whatever.
So that's our advice, if possible. And then if not possible, then think of these other things, like maybe something fun to do or grab some fucking what are those things called where you fill in the Mad Libs?
Do a search word.
Something cute to do with your girls.
I love search words. That's good for your brain too.
That is the weirdest hobby you have. I will give that to you. Okay, the next question is about alterations, which Michelle just mentioned she's doing.
I had to take it back twice.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I recently had my first alterations appointment. A couple things bugged me, and I'm wondering if they were normal. The first, quote normal. Unquote, normal. The first is that the alterations were $800 for adding lace sleeves, hemming, and taking in different places in the torso. I think that's a good price, to be honest.
Well, that's her main question.
Okay, that's it. Next one.
Okay, next.
Let me... I ruined it. Great. I ruined it. Let me go on. The seamstress complained a lot about how difficult the lace would be to take apart. In quotes, or sorry, in parentheses, it says, there are two layers sewn together to make sleeves. But that still seems really expensive. The dress was $3,000 over budget to begin with. I was budgeting around $500 for alterations. I'm not laughing at what your budget is. I'm laughing that I ruined this. The second was that they wanted me to come in the week of my wedding for my last fitting and only scheduled my next fitting for August. That seems like a really compressed time schedule, and they said no when I was asked to pick up the dress the weekend before the wedding. The explanation was that if I want any changes, she will do it the same day on a weekday. She also explicitly said she didn't want me to have it at home for too long. I guess they're thinking I would stare at the dress in their closet and want to make more changes. But I really don't want another huge errand to run the week of my wedding since it's a 2-hour drive to the shop. Ooh, 2 hours. I'm thinking of emailing them to confirm that A, the $800 is the final price for alterations since they didn't write the total on the slip I signed, and B, asked to pick it up the previous week, even on a weekday. Is that reasonable? Thanks in advance.
Yeah, so we do think it's reasonable. It's also depends on geography. Since you're driving 2 hours, it doesn't sound like you have a whole bunch of options to compare shop. So I told her that, yeah, your dress looks beautiful. She posted a picture, by the way, and it is beautiful. And alterations are expensive, period. Even simple alterations are expensive on bridesmaids' dresses and wedding dresses. I don't know if you can maybe get a better price at a competitor's business. You could look into that. But I do think if you're uncomfortable with the timing situation, like not getting the dress until whatever, the day before, whenever she wants to do it, that you need to address with them. And I would do that over the phone and not on email. And by the way, I think the 800 might not have been written down for you because it's probably just an estimate. But I totally understand not wanting another big errand, a 4-hour drive turnaround on the week of your wedding. No, try to get it ahead of time. Bring it home in a bag with a zipper on it. Try it on when you get home to make sure it's all good, and then put it away until your wedding
day.
I
think she should try it on at the place.
That's not that hard.
Before she leaves.
Yes, totally. Because the woman did say, you know, if there's anything right then, we'll fix it. I just mean if you bring it home and you feel like I have to put it, like I have to see one more time, but don't overthink it. And then, tell them, just be firm. They don't want to lose your business. They're on the hook for, you know, potentially over $800 right now, and you haven't paid them yet. So be firm. Tell them you want it on, boom, July 27th. That's when you want to pick it up. And if they can't accommodate that, you know, you might have to bring your dress to somewhere else. That's what I said. Somebody else. And now this is what's so great about the Facebook group, because these other comments, they're planning their own weddings. So somebody else commented that her estimate she got was $400 just for hemming. It's not just. For hemming, switching the cups to a larger size, taking in the bodice, and adding darts. And she lives in central New York. So, again, I said, you know, it could be based on geography. And then somebody else mentioned that more intricate the lace is, then the more money the alterations tend to be, which this is lace. And then you're doing a full lace sleeve that she's adding. So the price does not surprise me one bit. Is your bustle also included in that? Which is something good to think about. I always forget about the bustles until I'm full hands up my bride's dress, trying to figure out the bustle. She said, in my experience, it's better to do your final fitting as close to the wedding day as you can within reason. And I think the reason for not wanting it at your house for too long is the liability that something could happen to it, spilled on it, your puppy eats it. By the way, I had a bridesmaid, her puppy destroyed her dress the morning of the wedding for my Texas wedding for the two guys. And she didn't want them to know. And there was a David's Bridal in town. And she went there that day and got a dress off a hanger and within an hour made it to the... So once you get your dress home, you keep that in a closet with the door closed. And then this listener or bride also said, it does not seem out of whack overall. I think this was another comment in terms of budget. But if you're uncomfortable, it is worth having a clarifying conversation with the seamstress. So that's that. And what do you think, Michelle?
And I think I also agree. I think the pricing is in line with what it needs. I know it sucks because you're already over budget. And so you're like, ugh! But that's not a bad price. And I was just talking to my sister today. She's getting married on Sunday. Today's Wednesday. She went in for what she thought was the final fitting. It needed more. But this is a local bridal, small bridal shop. So she knows the owner. She's going to do the alterations. And my sister's going to pick it up on Friday evening and bring it over to my house for Sunday. So, I mean, we're getting down to the line. I had mine hemmed. I had my Birdie Gray. I had to have them make the top, you know, because it's not spaghetti strap, but it's strap. And so they had to bring that up, make it shorter, and then, of course, shorten the hemline probably 2 feet. But I went and picked it up, and it was still a little too long, so I had to bring it back to them. So I'm picking mine up on Friday as well.
Yeah, that is down to the wire.
So... it is down to the wire, but I mean, you know, it's important.
For those of you who have not purchased your dress yet, if you need alterations, set aside a chunk of $100 bills for that. $100 bills, yeah. Y'all.
Yeah. On your mattress, $100 bills.
Okay. Next question.
Go cut somebody's lawn for a few weeks.
Next question is about kids.
About kids. Question. As someone who doesn't have children, I'm struggling with this a bit. I was just tackling our seating chart when I realized that not all babies will need a seat. And of course, some will need high chairs. At what age should you provide a high chair versus no chair at all? Also, we're providing a coach from the church to the reception venue. That means a bus. Should we be trying to provide child seats / booster seats, or is it totally acceptable to ask parents to arrange this themselves? We ask guests to let us know if they wanted to be included on the coach, and a number of parents with kids or babies said yes. Christy, go.
Okay, for the high chair question, it really depends on the kid. Actually, this is somebody else answered this. This was another listener.
Oh, you didn't answer?
No, I did. Mine is under this. So we kind of agreed. So my answer was, I guess I only included that one. You definitely, for transportation, you definitely do not need to include child-appropriate transportation. If the parent brings a baby that needs a car seat, it's on them to deal with the logistics. High chairs. Okay, so in terms of transportation, some parents, if they have an infant and the infant is in the carrier, they might have said yes to the coach because there's a way to actually put a seatbelt over an actual carrier. Or they're just assuming they're going to hold the baby in their lap. I don't love that.
But a lot of people do that on buses.
Yeah, and I don't know where you live either. So it might be like, you know, I would really, really take this off your plate and don't worry about it at all.
They'll do what they need to do for their own child.
Yeah. And then for high chairs, I think you may need to ask, but I think 9 months to 3 years, like 8 or 9 months to 3 years, they need a high chair. And most venues have those, and they're not expensive to get on your floor plan. Chairs, regular chairs are good for 4 and up. And any kid under 9 months or 8 months, you know, can be held, or their parents will bring in their car seat with them, or, you know, whatever. But I think I say 8 months because that's when my kids started like sitting up and throwing food, but it could have been earlier.
I think it's probably six months.
Yeah, let's say 6 months, but it's still, parents know when they bring a baby places, they have to bring
Their gear.
Stuff for the baby.
They bring yeah. more than enough stuff, guys. Nine out of 10 parents will bring more than enough. And then there'll be that small percentage that are like, I don't need anything for my kid.
Oh, do you have a high? Exactly. So if you're really concerned and you have time for this to be in your brain right now, then just text or email specific parents and ask them.
But don't ask them about the bus. Just ask about the high chair.
Yeah. And also know that if you're asking them questions, you're kind of opening up Pandora's box, because then you're into, oh, by the way, my kid only eats string cheese and chicken nuggets. Can you provide that as the wedding meal? Mm. And, oh, are you going to have a babysitter? And, oh, I can't have flash photography around my 1-year-old, you know, whatever. Like, I think people who bring small kids to weddings, like, do your own thing. I get it, whatever. But generally they take care of, they cross all the T's themselves.
Yes, agreed. And if the venue is a restaurant or a hotel, they're going to have lots of high chairs and they'll be able to pull what they need. But if you are renting and bringing things in, always rent at least one more high chair than you have a count of, because some people like to turn it upside down and throw their baby car seats on the top if the baby's sleeping.
But yes, good point.
Okay, last one.
The next, it's a little one, and you answered it, so I'm going to read the question.
Oh, look at that.
It's just a short little question, more about some timing. We can tell from this Facebook group that a lot of you struggle with the details of your wedding day timelines, which we get, because that shit is the biggest part of our job. So this one has to do with sunset photos. Sunset photos on the wedding day. I need some help figuring out the start of my ceremony. Sunset will be at 6:24 p.m. in Dallas on my wedding day. In the winter, it looks like, of 2020. I am all about the first look, and I want my ceremony to be about 30 minutes. So she was kind of wondering when she should start things, and we just assumed that she wanted some good sunset pics in there.
So it's interesting, because a lot of photographers want to do golden hour photos with you, and a lot of photographers want to go right a few minutes before sunset. Everybody, it depends on the photographer, right? So I answered, assuming you want photos at golden hour and or sunset, I would suggest this. 4 o'clock ceremony, which ends at 4:30. 4:30 to 5:30 cocktail reception. 5:30 call to dinner. By 5:45, your guests are all seated and they're starting toasts. Dinner is from 6 to 7:30. In this scenario, you can take photos at golden hour. Again, if sunset is at 6:24, golden hour is at 5:24, 1 hour before sunset. So at 5:24, you're going to be, it's going to be cocktail hour. And you can leave for a good 15 minutes, 20 minutes to go take sunset photos, because at 5:30, they'll do a call to dinner. And by 5:45, guests are all seated and you can always just wait a few minutes, maybe do a grand entrance or whatever it is after your golden hour photos. Also, if they want to do sunset photos, at least dinner will have started at 6 and will go till at least 7 or 7:30. So you'll be able to get some bites to eat and then run out during dinner while people are talking to one another and go take photos at sunset. So I think this is the best schedule scenario.
Mm-hmm. And photographers need to be, I found in my experience, need to be reminded several times that those sunset pictures have to be quick. Yes, the sun is going down, so it's not going to take forever. But I've had couples like almost miss dinner, like completely get two bites and that's it. No dinner, because their photographer walked them all the way to the third fucking yard of the patio, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's stairs involved. And like, yes, the photographer wants the perfect photo, but you've already had hours of photos. So this is supplemental, additional, and it's extra and it's wonderful, but it cannot take more than 20 minutes. Like, it just can't. And sometimes you have to be firm.
You know, the solar system just won't allow for it, because the light will be gone.
I am the solar system on the wedding day.
I am the solar system.
And that's a wrap.
Yeah, so 4 o'clock ceremony, that is a wrap, everybody. Okay, we're done. And this was fun.
I really love
you all.
I have to, like,
so good.
Run off to get my eyebrows threaded now before this place closes in 30 minutes.
Holy crap.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
They're that,
like,
outro.
Monstrous.
They look good. Why do you have to do that?
I have to.
I can't see it close.
Yeah, it's bad up close. It's bad. Okay.
It's a jungle in there. All right, go ahead.
Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate and review. It helps a ton. We're on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and new call to action on Instagram. Leave comments here and there on our Instagram grid because it helps us show up on the algorithm of the
Libby
system
taught us that.
Where there's a red pill and you see the world in a different way.
Ooh.
On the Matrix.
Really?
Okay. So you have to leave comments because they help us. Please, we're begging you, leave comments. Facebook, TBWP podcast, same with Twitter. Join our Facebook group. It's the first thing you see if you go to our Facebook page. It's under groups, community, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. We've mentioned Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Helps us so much to have $5 a month thrown our way by our loyal listeners. So thank you to all of you who are, and please consider joining if you aren't, if we've helped you in any way. And we have a phone number.
415-723-1625. Llámanos.
I think that's it. I almost just said your line, but I didn't. I stopped myself.
Happy planning, everyone. And Christy, I love you and I love your show.
Bye.
Bye.